Computer. Okay, here we go. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul. Give me 1 second. I got one more recording to start. Okay, we're ready to go.
42.
Today's video is paper 166, the laseration. Laser. I'm starting good. The resurrection of Lazarus is what I was going to say. Good way to start. And that's on page 1842.1 of the original book, or 168.01 in the rest of them. Today's June 2nd, 2026, and I have my little once a year spill, I have to say today. We don't ever ask for money on this channel, right? But this month is our renew our website month and our security both. So it's like $1,200. So if you have had it in your heart to help with this ministry that we do here on this channel, please go to the bottom of this screen in the description. There's a PayPal link. And if you'd like to donate to help bring this ministry to the world, please hit that link. Whatever you can afford, we appreciate it. And that's pretty much all I said about it. This year, it's just a lot of expense for 1 month for us here to cover everything. So if you'd like to help out, we appreciate it. And like always, please go subscribe and like and that kind of stuff. We do not make money on our YouTube videos. We don't have enough viewers or subscribers, either one, to get paid anything from YouTube. So if y'all think we get money for doing this, we don't. We never have. So the only thing money we receive is any donations that we receive from folks, and any books I sell online, I put towards everything, all the profit, any profits on the books towards paying for keeping this stuff online. So I appreciate it. Enough said. That's it. Let's go on to Resurrection of Lazarus. Let's see if I can get my tongue untied. Y'all like that screen?
Very nice.
That is nice, isn't it? That's a Chat GPT screen. I told it what to do, and it just brings it. I'd spend hours
Amazing.
on these things before, and this is like 10 minutes, so it's just amazing. All right, let's go on. The Resurrection of Lazarus, paper 168. It was shortly after noon when Martha started out to meet Jesus as he came over the brow of the hill near Bethany. Her brother Lazarus had been dead 4 days, y'all. Note that, please. 4 days, and had been laid away in their private tomb at the far end of the garden late on Sunday afternoon. The stone at the entrance of the tomb had been rolled in place on the morning of this day, Thursday. All right. In other words, it was already in place, but on this morning, Thursday morning, the stone was still in its place. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. Then Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus concerning Lazarus's illness. They were confident the master would do something about it. They knew that their brother was desperately sick, and though they hardly dared to hope that Jesus would leave his work of teaching and preaching to come to their assistance, they had such confidence in his power to heal disease that they thought he would just speak the creative words, and Lazarus would immediately be made whole. Come on,
That's
Lazarus.
curative words, Rodney.
Pardon me?
You said creative word,
Curative.
curative. In other words,
Curative.
he would speak the cure.
I said creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curative words. And Lazarus would immediately be made whole. And when Lazarus died, a few hours after the messenger left Bethany for Philadelphia, they reasoned that it was because the master did not learn of their brother's illness until it was too late. until he had already been dead for several hours.
Okay, so by the time they got word to Jesus, Lazarus had already been dead. Okay, and that's the whole point of this. And Jesus, it's interesting, we're going to find out later on in this paper that Jesus's thought adjuster told the guardian seraphim of Lazarus not to allow the thought adjuster to leave. And this was 15 minutes, I think it is, before he died. Okay, so.
But I know that it was, I think they dispatched, Martha and Mary dispatched the messenger Sunday morning,
Right.
I'm pretty sure. And I think Lazarus died soon after that,
Right,
that afternoon.
after he had already left. That's right.
Before, and they knew
Yeah.
the messenger had not made it to Philadelphia yet.
Yeah. No, no way.
There's
Right.
no way he could have.
Couldn't have run that fast. All right. So, a couple of points here I want to point out. For first, it was 4 days before Jesus got back to him. Right. But it's interesting. They make a point a little bit later in this paper of talking about whether the human Jesus pre-planned this or whether it was the Michael consciousness of Jesus, because the thought adjuster made it a point to say to not let Lazarus's thought adjuster leave the planet. Okay, after before he died, they told him he cannot leave. So
And who made that decision?
the thought adjuster, Jesus's
Well,
thought adjuster.
Jesus, okay. But
Okay.
how did because the human Jesus was not told until after he had died.
Right.
So his
But the
thought
thought
adjuster might
adjuster of Jesus has what ability? He's the fragment of God. So he has the thought of the ability of presight, right?
Okay.
So the thought adjuster knew that Lazarus was fixing to die, so they told him not to let his them the guardian angels not to let the thought adjuster leave after he died, because the thought adjuster knew that some sort of miracle was going to come of this.
Yeah, because the thought adjuster would have left right away to go to Vennington. I
That's
mean,
right. That's exactly right. And that's why I
Vennington.
wanted to make such a point of that, right? We know they leave immediately. When you die, they're gone, right? And the immediately after you die, the guardian seraphim have to check out of the planet and head out too, right? So there was two things that had to happen, okay? The thought adjuster had to be what? Delayed. And the guardian seraphim were not allowed to leave either with Lazarus's soul. Okay.
And which one had the personality?
The personality goes with the thought adjuster.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the mindal transcript though goes with the guardian seraphim. Okay. We all clear on that?
And
Yes.
what's the soul take?
Pardon me?
What's the soul take?
The soul goes with the guardian seraphim.
But they take the history and stuff.
Yeah, they do. The
So
soul
he's
and the
kind of like an empty vessel.
when they leave, your body is dust. It's nothing anymore. Right? And that's the
Yes, which
case
why
whether
what
you're
I'm saying,
alive or not.
not
You
the
know, if you're
body,
going.
but I'm referring to the soul. When they die, the seraphim takes the records and
And the soul.
the soul.
Right.
And okay, so they must leave it in the soul.
Yeah, they have to leave it in they have to leave it in the body. They can't take it. You see what I'm saying? In order for Lazarus to be resurrected in the same body. If they weren't trying, if he wasn't trying to resurrect him in the same body, it wouldn't matter, would it? Because they'd just put him in
Right.
another body.
A mirage body.
A Maranscha body. That's right.
So there are
Now,
those two
he's on
in
Earth
the, now, and they're going to resurrect him.
they're going to
But that's
resurrect
why the
him.
seraphim stayed here, because they think he could have his earthly records and stuff in his, mind,
Yeah.
whatever.
It's
Now, keep
memory.
in
It
mind, a
is.
duplicate of your mindal record is with whom? Archangels, right?
Archangel. Yeah.
There's a backup of your mindal records with the archangels in case, God forbid, your seraphim rebels, they have to reassemble everything. Okay.
Where did those two parts stay during those 4 days?
They probably stayed within the mind of Lazarus, more than likely.
No.
They're in trust with the guardian angels, but in order to restore him, they probably stayed within the mind of Lazarus, even though his body was dead.
So he wasn't conscious
He
when.
wasn't conscious. There was no consciousness of him for those 4 days. When he it, we're going to find out later in this paper tonight that when he wakes up, he thought he just went to sleep. He didn't even know what happened. He woke up in the garden and he's wondering, why did I wake up in the garden? You know, it must have been sleepwalking or something. So, all right. So there we are. So he'd already been, it said, the reason that is that because the Massel did not learn of their brother's illness until it was too late, they said here, right? Until he had already been dead for several hours. In other words, between the time he left the
Castle.
messenger and the time he died, it was several hours. Okay. Pam, would you take the next one?
Who?
Pam, you're next on my
Okay,
list
Pamela.
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they, with all of their believing friends, were greatly puzzled by the message which the number brought back Tuesday for noon. When he reached Bethany, the messenger insisted that he heard Jesus say, "This sickness is really not to the death." Neither could they understand why he sent no word to them, nor otherwise proffered assistance.
Oh, okay, I want to make something clear about this statement that Jesus said here. Why did Jesus say this sickness is really not to death? You
Because he
think?
knew what he was going to do.
Because he knew what he was going to do, but more importantly, to Jesus, no sickness, even if you die, is to death, is it?
Oh, okay, on the
Right.
spiritual level, yes.
In the spiritual realm, we
Yeah.
always go on. Right? So in essence, when your body dies, you don't what? You don't really die. You go on.
I got an exception to that.
Well,
If
the
Lazarus
physical.
had committed suicide, it would have been ended.
That's right, it would have been ended. But normally, if you have faith, you don't really die. And that's what Jesus said when he said the sickness is really not to death. He was talking about spiritual death, right?
Right.
Yes. Okay. So now he knew that Lazarus was already dead, and he's going to say that in a few minutes here. Okay. All right. A lot
Hey,
of
Andrew.
different. Yeah.
Hey,
Andrew's here.
hello.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello. I just have a question about that suicide comment by
Yeah.
Gary. I know that is a Catholic take. That is not a Protestant take. You Catholics believe because you can't be absolved after a suicide, you go to hell or whatever.
Yeah,
But
regardless.
Protestants don't believe that timetable of you must, the last thing you do is forgiveness, like last rites in
Yeah.
Catholicism. So is that Urantia's teaching, though, is more Catholic that if you commit suicide?
Absolutely not. The Urantia teachings, and let me be very clear about this because there's a lot of Urantians out there that have multiple views of this. But my interpretation, this is by me only, is the fact that, well, not only by me, but what I've read in the book is that suicide is the ultimate no-no. Okay? Let me tell you why. Because when you commit suicide, you deprive the thought adjuster of a vessel. You deprive the opportunity for you yourself to repent. So
It's like making that final decision. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the final decision is non-existence when you commit suicide. Okay. Now, there probably more than likely is exceptions to that rule. Okay. One being, for instance, if you committed suicide trying to save someone else's life, that's the ultimate,
So it's the motive.
it's about the motive. It's the ultimate act of love. So that
Because
would not, they shouldn't call that suicide.
I think of those people in the Twin Towers that they were either going to burn alive or they were going to jump. Either way is suicide.
Yeah, but it's the motive of what you're doing. If
Yeah.
you're just committing suicide because you're tired of everything, you don't want to go on, that's not allowed. Period.
Yeah, so that's just very interesting, and I don't mean to take this conversation to a dark place, but I have thought about this because I have more and more friends, parents that are going through dementia and Alzheimer's
Right.
and just zero recognition of their family, and also just very harsh chronic pain. And I have thought, like, I definitely don't want my family's resources all being drained away while I'm a vegetable, don't recognize them, et cetera. I know these are extreme cases, and this is not the point, but I'm trying to learn the Urantia teaching, and it makes sense because you aren't struggling through, and there is a lot about the harshness of even Jesus's life and all life prior to this generation about you didn't have stockpiles of
I
food, you didn't
mean,
have all this stuff. Every day was a struggle to survive, and so you had to choose it. But it's just interesting to me. I don't know.
I deal with this every day, especially with my mother. She's got dementia, and every single day that she survives another day, I have to deal with the non-recognition of things, lack of memory, not knowing how to do anything, and that sort of thing. And that's a horrible, horrible way to get to go. But that does still not give you the right to make the decision to end your life, as harsh as that sounds. Now, let me say it this way. When Jesus was on the cross, he suffered the epitome of pain, anguish, all those things, right? And he chose to go through the full experience to experience death as a human. And it's my opinion, and I think this is what I where I get it from the Urantia book, is that regardless of what happens, no matter what kind of death you go through, it does not excuse you from going through the experience. You see what I'm saying?
No, I
It's
get
an
that,
ex
and I appreciate that. That's thoughtful.
And
Yeah.
Roger,
Yeah.
one of the fruits of our Father's Spirit is long suffering.
Right. It is. And so that's got to kick in, right? I mean, listen to it. Let me tell you, this sounds very depressing, but I got to say it anyway. Life is very, very hard. Not every single day, but some days in life are just overbearing beyond imagination. Okay. And I go through these things just like everyone else. We all go through depressions and things, and we think, oh, why am I doing this? Is this really what I need to be doing? And that sort of thing. But that is part of the struggle of life. And part of the struggle of life is to gain the experience of life. You see what I'm saying? It makes a big difference. There is no excuse for giving up. Jesus never gave up, did he?
And I guess, like, a perspective too is that I had very dark thoughts when I was in high school and college. And looking back now, I don't chuckle, but I see how small that was compared to stuff I deal with now, and probably the same thing in the next decade and the next,
Exactly. When we're young, we think the whole world is falling in on us. Right, but constantly, friends and family and dating and everything is just horrible. But in reality, when you look back on it, you have to kind of laugh at how unimportant the things you thought were so important were. You know what I'm saying? And that's a real problem with young people if they don't have the proper upbringing and you don't give them faith as they grow up, going through those struggles are even more difficult. All right. And so that's our responsibility to teach them. All right. And I know this was a long discussion about death and stuff, but it's appropriate with this paper. So, all right. Diane, would you take the next one?
Okay.
Many
Many
friends
friends from
from
nearby
nearby
hamlets
hamlets
and
and others
others from
Jerusalem
Jerusalem
came
came
over
over
to
to comfort the
mute
sorrow.
yourself, Paul, Roger.
Okay, let me start over. Okay. Yeah, well, I forgot where it was. Many friends from nearby hamlets and others from Jerusalem came over to comfort the sorrow-stricken sisters. Lazarus and his sisters were the children of a well-to-do and honorable Jew, one who had been the leading resident of the little village of Bethany. And notwithstanding that all three had long been ardent followers of Jesus, they were highly respected by all who knew them. They had inherited extensive vineyards and olive
Orchards.
orchards in the vicinity, and that they were wealthy was further attested by the fact that they could afford a private I'm sorry, burial tomb on their own premises. Child girl. Both of their parents had already been laid. Pardon. Sorry.
No animals too.
Both of their parents had already been laid away in their tomb. We made
Yeah, we made it.
it. She's on my
I know she's on the keyboard too, dude. We had to give her a tap.
I know
Okay.
she
All
is.
right, there we go.
All right, there we go. There we go.
Really? All right.
Really.
These cats want to read too, you know. I had to treat them for fleas today, so they're all kind of crazy today.
They're pretty.
Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all wealthy because of their father had bought all these vineyards and had lots of wealth and that sort of thing. So that's the kind of background they have. All right. The other thing is they had their own tomb being of wealth, which they created in their own garden. So that makes a big difference too. All right, Letch, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. Mary had given up the thought of Jesus' coming and was abandoned to her grief. But Martha clung to the hope that Jesus would come, even up to the time on that very morning when they rolled the stone in front of the tomb and sealed the entrance. Even then, she instructed a neighbor lad to keep watch down the Jericho road from the brow of the hill to the east of Bethany. And it was this lad who brought tidings to Martha that Jesus and his friends were approaching.
Okay, so they had a young guy watch out for Jesus and his crew coming. All right, Gary, would you take the next one, please?
Is Pam read yet? Or am I
Yeah,
dominating her?
we're just going to ignore Pam.
Okay, she's the rascal
She's
anyway.
already read.
Okay.
I'm
All
punishing
righty.
her.
Okay. When Martha met Jesus, she fell at his feet, exclaiming, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Many fears were passing through Martha's mind, but she gave expression to no doubt, nor did she venture to criticize or question the master's conduct as relating to Lazarus' death. When she had spoken, Jesus reached down and lifted her up upon her feet and said, "Only have faith, Martha, and your brother shall rise again." Then answered Martha, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And even now, I believe that whatever you shall ask of God, your Father will give you."
Why do you think that Mary said, or Martha said, "I know that he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day"? Why do you think she said that? Because Jesus had taught her that, right? All the many visits he made with him over the years and stuff, he had taught them certain little truths along the way. So when he said, "Your brother shall rise again," she thought he was talking about when he rose from the dead, went on to the mansion worlds. So it's kind of interesting. All right. Andrew, would you take the next one?
Then said Jesus, looking straight into the eyes of Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. In truth, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never really die. Martha, do you believe this?" And Martha answered the master, "Yes, I have long believed that you are the deliverer, the Son of the living God, even he who should come to this world."
Okay, what else is in this paragraph we just cannot skip over? And that's the fact that Jesus, when he says he is the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he dies, shall live. Why is that the case? See, people, we read this in the Bible for years and years and years, and we don't understand it, do we? I'm going to tell you the answer to the great quiz about this, and that is this. Jesus is the creator of our local universe, is he not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And him being the creator of the local universe and completely the sovereign of this universe, that means no one will live past life without the approval and the knowledge of Michael or Jesus himself. So he literally is the cause of the resurrection and the life. Does that make sense? That's the big mystery here. Without Jesus, there is no resurrection. Because without Jesus, there would be no one to run the universe, and the process that brings us from death to the mansion worlds would what? Would no longer exist.
Diane?
Yes.
Diane needs to mute.
Mute.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
You get it?
No, I can't.
What that mean?
I don't know. That's how I felt it was. Okay.
Oh, here we go. It's because of the cat walking across. He's teaching. He's showing her all kinds of pictures. Okay, so what he's telling her is it's because of him that there is a resurrection at all. There's a resurrection plan at all, and he's asking her, "Do you believe in this?" And she says, "Yes." She believes he's the Son of God, and being the Son of God, that means that all life continuation from this planet, from here on out, from the beginning of time, is because of Jesus himself. Does that make sense?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
What about those who dies before Jesus's death?
They're included in the same plan, Gary.
But they wouldn't know about well, if they had a belief in the single God, yes.
Yes, they would continue okay. on because Jesus is a representation of the single God, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If they were heathens, they would not.
They would not. If there's no soul that's been built up in this life, there's nothing to go on. Does that make sense? You have to build a soul in this life to have anything to continue on, even if it's just that spark of understanding and faith. Okay? But this is what the point I want to make is that in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will shall not die." Okay? This is from the New Testament also. And so the point I want to make, we've been spouting off these words for hundreds of years and we don't understand what it's saying. Okay?
I have a
It's not
question.
just believing in Jesus. It's he is the resurrection. Yeah, Pam.
So, my thought was that if you believe in the Heavenly Father, that you're going to go on. So there are religions out there that don't recognize Christ, but re recognize the single fatherhood of God.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
That means that the moment they arrive on the first, if they get to the first mansion world, the moment they arrive on the first mansion world, what is the number one thing they have to learn
About Jesus,
about Jesus?
the
They can't
Creator.
go on without the understanding of who created them.
Is there a part in the book that says that? I mean, that I can go to,
Not really.
no.
It just stresses the fact that you have to believe in God the Father. And Jesus even stresses the fact you have to believe in God the Father. Okay? But
But
these kind of statements that Jesus n makes makes you know that you cannot go on past very, I don't even think you could get out of a remedial class if you did not understand Jesus was your God. You see what I'm saying? It's the difference between understanding reality and not understanding reality. You know why the Lucifer Rebellion was considered cosmic insanity? Is because they were trying to live in a non-reality. Okay, so you can't go on in a non-reality indefinitely while the rest of the universe goes on in the real spiritual world. That's why they called it cosmic insanity, because what they were trying to believe did not exist. Does that make sense?
That was a lie.
It was a lie. Yeah.
Wasn't Lucifer's thoughts that he thought he could do things better than God?
Yes, he did. He did.
So
But
he
the point of this paragraph, that's even in the New Testament, the point of this paragraph is the fact that according to the way I was taught, and I know Andrew was taught, was the fact that that Jesus, you did not get to the mansion worlds without believing in Jesus. Right? That's all there was to it. That's the Baptist background. That's most of the Protestant backgrounds, is they believe that if you do not believe in Jesus, you will never make it to the first mansion world.
Well, I wanted to say real quick, I mean, Baptists don't believe in mansion worlds.
No, they don't. They
It's
believe in
just
a
heaven and
ethereal
hell and very
yacht.
simple. There's no progression or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good question. I think a lot about the verse in John 10:16. Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them
Yeah.
also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." And the classic Christian teaching is just, well, first of all, God came to the Israelites, then
Yeah.
Jesus is spreading the gospel to the Jews.
Yeah.
But even there were people that were spreading the message of Jesus that weren't in the little discipleship in crowd. So
Right.
Jesus is saying, then Urantia is teaching that there's multiple planets. Jesus is savior of all of them. We are the world of the cross, but
Right.
he's the resurrection and life for other intelligent beings on different planets. So I feel that the net is very wide for there is room for everyone who is reaching towards God the Father
Yes.
to progress forward. I mean, it's kind of the feeling everyone gets when they have their atheist or Muslim neighbor that treats them 10 times better than their Christian neighbor. And he's just like, how this doesn't make
How does
sense.
this
God
work?
would toss them into the fiery place, and this person, because they said a sentence, gets to go to the good place. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. But
Great.
this is the kind of thing we're talking about from the New Testament to compared to the Urantia book, right? Exactly. So, but did that kind of answer your question, Gary? That's why I'm saying when you get to that first mansion world, I don't believe you'll ever get off that first mansion world if you don't recognize Jesus right away.
Yeah, of course.
I
You
think
know.
you're right. I don't think you'll leave the remedial classes at all.
No.
You'll get an F.
You know, it's kind of funny because think of it this way. The children in the nurseries on the Father's World, even the children between age 16 and 18 are required to make a decision to continue on. Okay. So it's not a stretch to think that we could get to that. You could get to that first mansion world, and in that first remedial class, you have to make a decision. You see what I'm saying? Not a
Well,
stretch at
I'm sure
all.
it's quite an awakening when you get there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Probably nice.
Beyond anything we can probably imagine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see who's next. That ridiculous Roger
Andrew
Paul.
just read.
Andrew just read, so I guess I'm up again, huh? Jesus, having inquired for Mary and Martha, went at once into the house and whispered to her sister. Let me start this over. Jesus, having inquired for Mary, Martha went at once into the house, not Jesus, and whispered to her sister, said, "The master is here and is asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she rose up quickly and hastened out to meet Jesus, who still tarried at the place, some distance from the house where Martha had first met him. The friends who were with Mary, seeking to comfort her, when they saw that she rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. They didn't know she was going out to see Jesus. Okay, Rodney.
Okay. Many of those present were Jesus's bitter enemies. That is why Martha had come out to meet him alone, and also why she went in secretly to inform Mary that he had asked for her. Martha, while craving to see Jesus, desired to avoid any possible unpleasantness which might be caused by his coming suddenly into the midst of a large group of his Jerusalem enemies. It had been Martha's intention to remain in the house with their friends while Mary went to greet Jesus. But in this she failed, for they all followed Mary and so found themselves unexpectedly in the presence of the master.
So they all followed her out, right? Even his enemies. Pam, would you take the next?
Martha led Mary to Jesus, and when she saw him, she fell at his feet, exclaiming, "If you had only been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw how they all grieved over the death of Lazarus, his soul was moved with compassion.
This is an interesting statement. I got a question for y'all. See, this is the problem with me reading this too much over the years. It says when Jesus saw how they all grieved over the death of Lazarus, his soul was moved with compassion. Do you see that?
Yeah, Jesus's Marantia soul.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think it was the Michael soul, rather than a human soul?
No, because throughout the book, the Jesus papers anyway, talk about how he's moved in his human body.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
Yeah, you think
what you're
it's
saying is his Marantia soul, not his
human
Urantia.
soul? Yeah,
It's
human.
human soul.
It's
You're
his
saying
human
it's him
soul, I would
soul.
say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I haven't read the first section at all about
Yeah.
the characteristics and qualities of the father and
Yes.
all of that, but wouldn't a big character quality of the Paradise Father and the sevenfold Godhead and all that be compassionate?
Yes,
Yeah.
definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, the
And
eternal son.
the interesting part I always thought was, since the Thanagars are separated from Jesus at the baptism, right?
Correct.
So the Thanagar was a separate personalized being at this point. And yet we don't recognize that Jesus still had his human soul, which the thought adjuster normally builds up during life, right?
Correct.
And since he was no longer inside of Jesus, his human soul did no longer need building, did it? Because his soul was
Correct.
ready for transition into the Marantia form at his baptism.
Correct.
Okay, so it was completely grown up. So I wanted to bring that point out. His soul is as much human as you or I would be. Okay. So I
Well, that
think.
was part of his mission to experience everything he could possibly do of all emotions and all
That's right. That's
yeah.
part of the mission, right?
Right.
Okay. Diane, would you take the next one?
When
When
the
the
mourners
mourners
saw
saw
that
Mary
Mary had
cry
gone to
to
greet
Jesus,
Jesus,
they
they
withdrew
withdrew
for a
for a
short
short
distance
distance
while
while
both
both
Martha
Martha
and
and
Mary
Mary talked with
talked
the
with the
Master
Master
and
and
received
received
further
further
words of
words of
comfort and
comfort and
exhortation
exhortation
to
to
maintain
maintain
strong
strong
faith in the
faith in the
Father
Father
and
and
complete
complete
resignation
resignation
to
to
His
the
divine
divine
will.
will. Notice Jesus is always pointing back to the Father again, too, isn't he? All right. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. The human mind of Jesus was mightily moved by the contention between his love for Lazarus and the bereaved sisters and his disdain and contempt for the outward show of affection manifested by some of these unbelieving and murderously intentional Jews. Jesus indignantly resented the show of forced and outward mourning for Lazarus by some of these professional friends, inasmuch as such false sorrow was associated in their hearts with so much bitter enmity toward himself. Some of these Jews, however, were sincere in their mourning, for they were real friends of the family.
So he only had issue with those who were just faking it, right? Or not real friends of Lazarus. Okay, here we go at the tomb. Moving right along. Gary, would you take this one?
Yes. Hold on a second. Let me adjust my screen. Okay. Number one, at the tomb of Lazarus, after Jesus had spent a few moments in comforting Martha and Mary, apart from the mourners, he asked them, "Where have you laid him?" When Martha said, "Come and see." And as the master followed on in silence with the two sorrowing sisters, he wept. When the friendly Jews who followed after them saw his tears, one of them said, "Behold how he loved him. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" By this time, they were standing before the family tomb, a small natural cave or
Declivity.
decrepit. I got it.
Yeah.
And in the ledge of the rock, which rose up some 30 feet at the far end of the garden plot.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to go into why Jesus wept here because they have a long discussion about this coming up. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, here it is. Andrew, would you take the next one?
It is difficult to explain to human minds just why Jesus wept. While we have access to the registration of the combined human emotions and divine thoughts as of record in the mind of the personalized adjuster, we are not altogether certain about the real cause of these emotional manifestations. We are inclined to believe that Jesus wept because of a number of thoughts and feelings which were going through his mind at the time, such as.
All right, so they have a opinion of why he wept. Okay.
The midwayers.
Yeah, this is the midwayers, right?
Yeah.
Is this the next one? Did I already hit it?
No, this is next one. You
Okay,
did
this is the
well.
next one. Okay. All right.
And
And
this
that,
is
huh?
Roger.
Yeah.
This right here is my question.
Yes. This paragraph?
Yes,
Oh,
I
okay.
can understand it.
Well, in that case, Rodney, why don't you read it?
Oh gosh, okay. And now we may relate an interesting and instructive fact. Although this narrative unfolds as an apparently natural and normal event in human affairs, it has some very interesting sidelights. While the messenger went to Jesus on Sunday, telling him of Lazarus's illness, and while Jesus sent word that it was, quote, not to the death. At the same time, he went in person up to Bethany and even asked the sisters, where have you laid him? Even though all this seems to indicate that the master was proceeding after the manner of this life and in accordance with the limited knowledge of the human mind, nevertheless, the records of the universe reveal that Jesus's personalized adjuster issued orders for the indefinite detention of Lazarus's thought adjuster on the planet subsequent to Lazarus's death, and that this order was made of record just 15 minutes before Lazarus breathed his last.
Okay, there it is.
And
So,
I understand that part, but what I mean is, at the same time, he went in person to the Be to Bethany, and even
right.
asked where have you laid him.
Yeah.
I don't understand that part.
Well, he asked for where they laid him because he was limiting his knowledge as Michael. Okay. So he didn't know as a human where they had laid him. Okay. He assumed it would be in a tomb somewhere. Okay. But notice we have that not to the death again coming up.
I think he was referring to the fact that even though he's dead in the physical form,
Yeah. He was still alive. He was going to bring him back to life. Yeah.
no, I think it means that also even though he's dead on earth, his soul, etc., is not dead.
Right.
So even if he was dead on earthly terms, he was not dead as the Marantia form.
Right, of course.
It's
Yeah.
not to his death, he's not dead, period.
Yeah.
Jesus' eyes.
Still alive. Andrew.
I guess I was thinking back to it's in paper 167, section 4, at the beginning. Maybe someone mentioned this about it says when Jesus heard it heard this message, his first and human thought was to go to their assistance at once.
Right.
But another idea came into his combined mind. I
Right.
guess my question is, well, I mean, this is a ridiculous question.
Exactly.
Where do all of our thoughts come from? Do they come from our own mind? Because it talks about this order to keep Lazarus's thought adjuster or whoever was 15 minutes before Lazarus breathed his last. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe Jesus didn't give that order. Maybe someone else in the hierarchy of authority did.
Well, the thought adjuster actually gave the order, but it had to have come from the will of
Oh,
Michael and God, right?
sorry, it did say that. Jesus's personalized adjuster issued the order.
Yeah, it does say that. And when the quote you were saying from the previous paper about that was the fact that soon as Jesus realized that Lazarus was dying, his first reaction would have been to go there, right? But he saw a opportunity to glorify God even more and give the opportunities for the Pharisees to still give in to the fact that he was the Son of God, right?
By
So
waiting, by postponing 4 days.
that's right. That's right. So by having this opportunity come up, he thought, well, I'll glorify God through this process and bring Lazarus back to life. Now, we have to keep something in mind during all this, and that is this. Jesus realizes that by bringing Lazarus back to life, he's going to put a bullseye on him, right?
Yes,
And,
it's Sunday.
huh?
It's yes, because it's Sunday.
Well, no, not because it's Sunday, because he, by him being the object of the only miracle in human history of someone being br brought to back to life from completely being dead, that would mean that Lazarus would be a curiosity for the rest of his life.
Yes,
You
I
know?
was thinking wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. So he would be, he would, he's going to be not only chased down and persecuted and that sort of thing, but we're going to find out later on in this paper, he ended up having to sell everything they had and flee to Philadelphia, which he stayed with the church in Philadelphia as the treasurer until he died again of the same disease that he died the first time. Okay. And he was in the church of Abner, and he supported Abner in his conflict with Paul. Okay, so the reason being because Abner stuck with the original gospel of Jesus. Okay, so all these little things come in to associate with each other. You know what I mean?
This is kind of,
Roger,
oh, sorry.
go ahead, either
Before
one
we
of you.
go,
Yeah.
before we go further, like four sentences down. While the messenger went to Sunday, tell him of the mess, and while Jesus sent word that it was not to the death, at the same time he went in person up to Bethany and even asked the sisters, where have you laid him? I don't understand that
What,
sentence.
when Jesus asked where you laid him, is that thought you?
Well, it's saying that I just, the sentence doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because what they're trying to relate to us is the fact that Jesus was trying to limit his human knowledge and his human mind as to what he was thinking about Lazarus and what he actually knew. You see what I'm saying? So by asking, where have you laid him? He's not even assuming that he knows where they put him or anything else. You follow me? Sort
Okay.
of.
I mean, I think that's a very hard mystery that we'll struggle with. I mean, the example with in the Bible in Genesis, when Jesus is looking for, Cain or Abel, and Cain's like, I don't know, like God doesn't need to ask questions like that,
No.
or he's like engaging in conversation, but Jesus is different in that he is, yeah, the fully human, fully deity. That's different. Sorry, I had a question too. This is very tangential, but Does Urantia speak anywhere of why Jesus's seventh bestowal came at the right time? You kind of talk about the fullness of time. I know about all the discussion and theories in Christian work. There's always the question that can pop up once you think about it. Why didn't Jesus come during time where there's media? So when he raises Lazarus, it could be broadcast to a billion people instead of just 14 people. And I realize people are just gonna believe what they want to believe.
You want
And
my real opinion of it, Andrew? I think Jesus came at this particular time because it is the closest that we will have to what the mansion worlds is going to be more like. Okay? Because the period of time of Jesus when he was on the planet will probably be much like what it's like when we get to the mansion worlds, and the fact that our life is slower going, number one, our life is completely surrounded with spiritual education, relationships with people, things like that. Where if Jesus came with the noise and the bustle and hustle bustle of the AI world, then he would be drowned out by all these other influences rather than it being so important, the things he was saying. You see what I'm saying?
And that makes sense because it's clearly the will of the Father to say things like Jesus says, come and see, or the kingdom of God is like, and he wants people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness rather than just some big lightning show or whatever. I guess,
Because
yeah.
he could have taken himself up on the top of the temple, floating in the air, and say, "I'm God." You know,
Yeah.
he could have. And the first time I read the Urantia book, I'd say, "Why didn't he just float himself up and tell everybody?" You
Well,
know,
I sorry, you
and
go.
but it's hard to get over that. You know,
Yeah.
it and that comes with understanding and wisdom. As we get older, we realize that is not the way God does things, is it?
Yeah. And I think a lot about there's that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man goes to a burning place and Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man is all mad and he says, go tell my brothers. But the final response is that, like, they have Moses and the scriptures. And he's like, no, but if you send someone back from the dead, they will believe. And the response is, no, if they don't believe that, they won't even believe that. And I've thought about that a lot. And it's that people just determine in their hearts what they want to believe. So if they are rejecting of the truth or the love of God, there's nothing is going to convince them.
Nothing's going to change that, you know,
Yeah.
regardless. You know, and I thought the same thing you were talking about, you know, why did Jesus come in that period of time or even a little later, you know, like the Middle Ages or something along that line. But no period of time was as perfect as when Jesus came that he could walk around and teach like he did, right? And do the miracles he taught, did all the things that he did. It was like a perfection of timing for him to do it that way because it gives us a better understanding of the way life really should be. Now, I think personally, you know, I use the new AI stuff and all that stuff, but I think there's a period of time coming in a very short period of time that human beings are going to have to decide whether they want to go down this road of electronic overlording or not, because if not, it looks like to me sooner or later the celestial authorities of the planet's going to have to step in, you know. Because let me put it this way, if AI takes over the world, then it takes away human discovery and choice. And that's the human discovery and choice that leads us to God. Does that make sense? So I think the things that's coming shortly in our lives are going to be quite a bit different than what we think they might be. Everybody's got opinions. That's just my opinion. So. All right, we are out of time, y'all. I hate it, but we're
How
gonna
much more do we have?
quite a bit. This is 1/6. This is five sections. We're on 1.6, so we got quite a bit to go yet, but that's okay. So we'll take it at 1.7 next time and continue with. We didn't even get Lazarus out of the tomb tonight, did we?
Is
So,
he going to
hey.
be angry when he comes out?
That's
I'm
right.
just
What are you
wondering.
guys going so
You
slow
know,
for, right?
he's going to come after us, boy.
Too many questions. Sorry.
No, there's no such thing
No.
as too
No,
many
it's fine.
questions.
I
There's
got to
not.
say something, Andrew. For as little as you profess to have studied the book, I think you have a pretty good understanding.
Yeah, you do. It's pretty interesting.
Thank you.
You catch
I'm
on
reading
fast.
All right, Pam, who's up for our prayer tonight?
Rodney.
Okay.
Go for it, Rodney.
Okay, prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, is Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you all out there for coming to see us. Please subscribe. And like I said, this is our yearly time to pay for our website. So if you would like to donate, there's a PayPal button down underneath the video. You can donate whatever you feel is appropriate. And tell other people about our videos, subscribe and share it with others. That's all I can say.
Thank you so
So
much.
thank
Thank
you.
you, Roger.
You're welcome. And thanks everybody for coming. And we'll see everybody on Thursday,
Thursday.
right?
Yeah.
All right.
Love you guys.
Love you
Love you
guys
all.
too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Love you all.
Thanks. Have a good
Bye.
night, everybody.